cracks. Mustn't walk on the cracks. Mustn't walk on the cracks. Mustn't walk on the cracks.
I beg your pardon.
Are you addressing me, madam?
Sorry,
I thought you spoke. Bumbling, stumbling idiots about nowadays. Deserve a jolly good thrashing. Don't walk on the cracks. If I don't walk on the cracks, I'll get the job. Get the job. Don't walk on the cracks. Don't walk on the cracks. Got to get it. Got to get it.
Now, for goodness sake, Mr. James. Mr. James.
Yeah.
I am not quite a monster, you know. I'm perfectly well aware, that what we're proposing to test out for the first time this morning, test out, is not particularly pleasant.
No.
I know, but we've called in this chap, this fellow Parker, and he's costing us a hell of a lot of money.
Management consultants.
What?
Withered. Quite withered. It's the central heating, you know.
Now, look here, Mr. James, look here. Don't let us sound like antique fuddy-duddies, eh?
Mr. Johnson, I know I may be a bit old-fashioned, and I know, of course, that in this matter, the decision is yours.
Precisely.
But to deliberately hurt, embarrass, and humiliate a man of one's own class, a man who simply wants a job with the Beiderweil organization...
A senior job!
Well, whether it's a black man to clean out the loos or a graduate to comb through the company's books...
Examine the facts, man! Study the figures!
Yes, Mr. Johnson, facts and figures.
The facts, I said! The figures, I said! Look at them! Just look at them! 20%! 20 damn percent of your top management executives are prone to heart attacks, nervous breakdowns, manic depression, pathological lassitude, stomach ulcers, oh, of course, stomach ulcers, digestive complaints, and a chronic irreversible failure of the decision-making areas of the cortex. The nut. These are the facts. These are the figures. Illness, gross inefficiency, mental paralysis, you name it. It's wasteful, it's expensive, it's diabolical, and...
High blood pressure,
exactly. These are the things we're up against. A man who is likely to crack under stress. The man who sags at the kneecaps at this crucial, oh, so crucial point in the affairs of our company is not the man we want to employ, is he? Is he? No. Of course not. Emphatically not. No.
No.
What did you say?
I said no.
Oh. Well then, I mean to say, obviously we cannot identify the man who is likely to crack under stress unless we, or this organization we're about to use, first deliberately put him under stress. Logical, Mr. James?
Logical, Mr. Johnson.
Anyway, I'll not get in your way. I'll not presume to do that, old chap. I'll just wait until this fellow Parker arrives, then I'll say hello and leave you both to your first interview.
Excuse me, sir, but...
Yes, what is it?
Don't you knock.
What on earth?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, sir. Mr. Parker from Transatlantic Consultants is here.
Oh, Parker!
Yes, sir, Mr.
Now, look here, my girl.
I thought you'd like to know at once, because...
Ah, good morning, gentlemen. A very good morning to you both. My name is Parker. Parker, Transatlantic Consultants.
Parker?
Ah, yes, of course. How do you do? Parker, you say? Parker. Any relation to Nosey Parker, by any chance?
A dirty great nose stuck on his face like a pickled cucumber. Oh, I knew when I came in this morning it was going to be one of those days. What?
Oh.
You are awful.
29. My lucky number, my lucky day. Hey.
Can I press your, your button.
What?
Your floor number.
Oh, yes. 27, please.
I'm going all the way up to floor number 29.
Bully for you.
Yes.
That's the bigwig floor. All carpets and bamboo.
I may well work for this organization. I'm here to discuss terms, that sort of thing.
Well, good luck.
Miniskirt. I bloody well miniskirt. I bloody well... Please let it be all right. Please.
It was splendid, splendid. I admit you threw me for a moment with that horrible nose, Mr. Parker. But Johnson, oh, my dearly beloved and oh so up-to-date colleague, nearly had a heart attack.
Yes, yes, I hope you won't let it upset him too much, you know. Still, it all goes to prove the absolute validity of my thesis, doesn't it?
Thesis?
Introduce the utterly unexpected or the completely unconventional into any given situation where the expectation is, as we say, totally other-directed. And you can stand back and watch the world turn over.
Well, poor old Johnson nearly turned over.
And it was only right that I began with a demonstration. There are, of course, any number of such techniques to inject into any given situation, all of which can have, despite their apparent improbability, any given number of totally predictable conclusions.
Yes, I am sure that...
It was not my intention to upset anyone but the man to be interviewed. No. But owing to a regrettable failure of communication between Bidawile and Transatlantic Consultants...
No, quite.
I was under the, as it turned out, erroneous impression that the man to be interviewed was already in the room. If you follow me.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, well...
Yes, well, shouldn't the man be here around about now? I ought to prepare for the encounter.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Parker. The man should be here at any minute.
Ah, good, good.
Now, his name is Wilkie, graduate, a well-qualified man. Ideal for the post, I would say. Public school, of course.
Well, that shouldn't have very much to do with it, you know. His attitude to his mother or the colour of his pyjamas are of almost equal relevance.
Of course, I'm an extremely old-fashioned, old-school stick-in-the-mud personnel manager.
Oh, salt of the earth, Mr. James. The very salt of the earth.
Good morning. Literally so for once. Quite brisk out, hmm?
Good morning, sir. Can I help you?
My name is Wilkie, Mr. Roland Wilkie. I have an appointment with your Mr. James at 10:15.
Oh, yes, Mr. Wilkie.
That is so, with an I and an E.
I'll just let Mr. James know that you've arrived, sir. Perhaps you'd care to sit over there in the bamboo for a moment or so. Today's papers are there, or should be.
Righty-ho, yes. Peruse the gloomy news.
Yes.
Mr. Wilkie is here to see you, sir.
Ah, fine, fine. Would you please ask Mr. Wilkie?
Oh, wait.
Just a moment. What on earth's the matter, Mr. Parker?
Keep him outside for a while.
What for?
What for?
Yes, what for?
Make him wait. Increase his vulnerability. Measure his confidence. Test his temper. Assess his resilience.
Now, look here, that's just rude in my book.
Is it? Or is it not agreed? Quite specifically, with no qualifications, amendments, or exceptions of any kind whatsoever, under the terms of my contract, that the form, manner, style, intensity, rudeness, politeness, or otherwise, of this interview of a man to be considered for this senior post should be left entirely and absolutely to me.
Will you please apologize to Mr. Wilkie and ask him if he will be good enough to wait a few moments longer?
Yes, Mr. James. I'm sorry, Mr. Wilkie. It seems you'll have to wait for just a few moments.
Wait?
A few moments, sir.
Oh, very well, very well.
Can I get you anything, sir?
Such as?
Well, a cigarette.
Oh, no. No, no cigarettes. Definitely not, thank you. A few moments, you say?
Yes. I hope so.
A few moments.
Is there anything...
No, I thought of something that I heard a little while ago. A joke. But not a filthy joke. I don't hold with filthy jokes, as you may imagine. A few moments.
Yes, sir.
I don't know whether you've ever seen or even heard of a rarey, have you?
No. A what?
Thought not. A rarey. A rarey is an animal.
Oh.
That is, I am sorry to say, now extinct, wiped out.
I see.
Even in early days, it was a very rare, very, very rare creature indeed, which is, I suppose, how it came to be called a rarey in the first place.
Really?
It talked, you know.
What did?
This now extinct creature had the power of speech. Oh, yes, the rarey could talk, all right. That was the trouble. That was its fatal attraction. And being soft, rubbery, vulnerable little creatures, they were mercilessly hunted down, wiped out.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God, God.
Is anything the matter? Oh, can I get you a glass of water?
Why am I being kept waiting? Why do I have to endure this intolerable suspense?
I'm very sorry, sir, but well, Mr. James...
Doesn't matter. Shut up about it. Just shut up. These hunters, that is, they took the rarey by its rubbery little paw and asked it to go for a walk with them up a hill to pick snowdrops.
Ah, here we are. Yes, Mr. James.
Come here, please.
Right away, Mr. James. Mr. James will see you in just one moment, if you will excuse me.
What's going on? What are they up to? Something will have to be done about this.
Oh!
I beg your pardon.
Mr. James will see you now, sir.
James?
He will see you now, sir. He also wishes me to tell you that there'll be another gentleman with him.
Oh, is that so?
Mr. James says you're not to worry about this. The other gentleman is there in an advisory capacity. And Mr. James also wishes to apologize for the delay in seeing you.
Very well, very well.
Mr. Wilkie, well, perhaps I oughtn't to say this, but,
yes.
Well, the other gentleman... Oh, please don't think me impertinent.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think it would be an awfully good idea if you could compose yourself.
What, myself?
Compose yourself.
Compose myself?
You'll know what I mean later.
Point taken. Into the fray, eh? Perhaps you were trying to suggest that you should hold my rubbery little paw, eh? A very great deal depends on this little encounter.
Compose yourself.
Mr. Wilkie, how do you do? My name is James.
Yes, how do you do, Mr. James?
So sorry about the delay.
Oh, very slight. Very slight.
Yes, well, do sit down and try and be at your ease.
Thank you.
This is Mr. Parker. Yes, well, I have your letter here before me, Mr. Wilkie. Most interesting. I see that you were at Stowe. That's a good school, a good school.
Yes.
Yes, then you went on to the varsity. Mm-hmm. You got in the Keeble boat, I see. Jolly well done.
Not quite so fit as I was, though.
Ah, youth, youth, what wouldn't we give for that old spring in our heels, eh, Mr. Wilkie?
Good morning, Mr. Thompson.
Thompson?
This is Mr. Wilkie.
Wilkie, yes.
Oh, I do beg your pardon.
I understood, Mr. James, you were seeing the most highly qualified applicant for...
Yes, well, we know quite a lot about you, Mr. Wilkie, from your very interesting and, if I may say so, very persuasive letter. Now, suppose you begin by saying what you know about us.
You want to know why I, plain Mr. Wilkie, or come to that the even more highly qualified Thompson, should want to offer his services to an organization as undercapitalized, overstretched, and seasonally vulnerable as this?
Oh, well, if that's the way you see us, of course.
Not just me. I refer you to the Financial Times, 5th of February, page 8, the Times Business News, March the 19th, page 23, the Stock Exchange Gazette, March the 19th, page 19, the Investors Chronicle, May the 12th, page 7. Shall I continue?
What about pornography? Do you read that?
A plant. Any plant is defined by its roots. A huge oak with splendid branches cannot survive with narrow, undernourished, shriveled roots beneath the deceptive soil. Right. And the Bideawhile organization, correct me if I'm wrong, had extremely humble beginnings. Extremely humble.
Only in the sense that mighty oaks from little acorns grow?
No. Much, much more like the Colossus with the feet of clay.
Oh, no.
Extremely humble, sir. Extremely humble. Correct me if I'm wrong. But beginnings based on no more promising a source than the demobilization gratuity of an ill-educated, indeed rather uncouth, but extremely sharp, oh, very sharp, ex-cook corporal from Blackdown Army Barracks near Aldershot, with a taste for thumb-thick chips and the kind of bottled sauce that is also alleged to appeal to the rather similar gentleman who is at the moment, I regret to say, Her Majesty's Chief Minister.
You're talking about our chairman. And our Prime Minister.
None other. Oh, an estimable man, Sir Cyril. Estimable. And so is the other, the Harold. Both estimable. The world is full of estimable men, always.
How did you get on with your mother?
Oh, really?
I loved her.
Oh.
But she is dead.
I'm sorry.
Under a huge and very lovely stone angel.
You were saying some rather harsh things about our beginnings, Mr. Wilkie.
What?
Our roots, as you so eloquently put it a moment ago.
Roots. Oh, yes. Yes. In 1945, Sir Cyril, as we may now call him, in 1945, he bought, with a bit of argy-bargy close to downright fiddling, he bought this tatty transport caff with his demob pay. A ramshackle roof-leaking building on the A40. Hitherto more notable for the occasional cockroach in the 10-gallon tea urn than for the presence of sugar tongs, silver or otherwise, on the small square tabletops. But Sir Cyril, as he then most positively was not quite so big a fool as subsequent camera portraits and television pictures undoubtedly make him appear.
He
yanked out the 10-gallon tea urn with the crowbar and chopped up the small square tables with a meat axe. And then, with much the same tools, I believe, he intimidated a local bank manager into coughing up enough cash to provide a second-hand coffee machine worked by steam and a revolving device for keeping sausage rolls lukewarm.
Your mother...
Within a month or two, this ex-cook corporal destined for greater things had repaid the bank loan and bought another equally run-down caff further along the A40. Into this one, gentlemen, he bought three rather slow-moving, oafish country girls with dirty aprons and muscular thighs, whom he termed, rather before anyone else on this side of the Atlantic, and therein perhaps lies genius, whom he termed hostesses. By the time the first of these girls was pregnant, 9 months and 13 days after the grand opening, the Bideawhile idea was also stirring in the womb.
That's rather an inelegant way of putting it, Mr. Wilkie.
Of course, oh, indeed.
But, I think I see what you mean.
The Bideawhile organization was soon on the high road to fame and prosperity, fame and prosperity, fame and prosperity.
Fame and prosperity.
It became associated with what prosaic economists were by now calling the leisure industries. In our fast-growing society, one of the fastest, if not the fastest, growth sectors, leisure.
Leisure, the leisure industries.
Were you very old, very late, I mean, before you were able to stop wetting the bed? Oh. And did this worry you at all?
Yes, look at it. Jingles on the television. Full-page ads in the national press. Double multichrome spreads in the color supplements. Hundreds of public houses. 4 breweries. Scores of hamburger bars. 12 holiday villas. Countless numbers of restaurants and snack bars, motorway service areas, garages, health farms, sauna baths, Turkish baths, cinemas, casinos, bingo halls, theatre clubs.
Impressive, isn't it?
Impressive?
Well, yes. That's the word I would have chosen in preference to any other. I'm not aware that I've said anything particularly amusing, sir.
Impressive, you say?
Extremely impressive.
Listen. Just listen. Resources too scattered both laterally and horizontally, completely dissipating any theoretical economies of scale. Capital far too heavily stretched. Trade far too seasonal. Overheads too great a proportion of real cost. Central policy too idiosyncratic and quixotic. Multiplication of rival factors becoming too great. Selective employment taxation not being countered by any discernible reorientation of staffing policy. A policy long overdue for overhaul in any case. Shares down over 3 successive years. Few signs of cohesive forward planning. inadequate expenditure on the most elementary forms of market research, and therefore too little genuine information on how to respond to predictable or even likely changes in public taste or communal expectation. You cannot deduce these things simply from the hunches of an ex-cook corporal, you know. In short, a case of too much reckless ambition blindly chasing too little concrete knowledge. In short, too cavalier an attitude to the specific demands of modern commercial technology. Need I go on?
Well, I must say that's a rather intemperate and very one-sided view.
Have you got a computer? Well, have you or have you not got a computer?
A computer?
I see you have a poinsettia.
Oh, yes.
A cyclamen persicum and rather fine goose foot, but have you or have you not got a computer?
No.
No?
No, I'm afraid we haven't.
In the year of our Lord, 1968, and no computer. No computer?
I do not belong to this company. I'm here in an advisory capacity. Purely advisory.
No computer. No computer.
Yes, well, now, I think I'd like to move on to another aspect of the company's affairs.
No computer. Good heavens above.
I think you should have told me this, Mr. James. I think you should have told me something about this before inviting me to participate in the business of this organization. I feel rather compromised, to say the very least.
Oh, come, come, come.
No computer.
Yes.
No.
Yes, compromised, Mr. James, compromised.
Perhaps, Mr. Parker, perhaps that is because, as an expert like you, I'm sure would agree, perhaps that is because you were a late bedwetter.
I do not regard that remark at all worthy for either the time or the place, Mr. James.
Oh, for God's sake, take off that damn stupid wig.
Computer.
Management consultant. Psychological mumbo-jumbo.
Oh?
And don't do that. Don't say oh like that, if you wouldn't mind.
Very well. Next time you say something I find utterly astonishing, I shall confine myself to raising my eyebrows.
Oh, so they're real, are they? The eyebrows? You didn't get them out of your attaché case?
Your concept of modern psychology is about as limited as your grasp of modern business methods.
Now, look. You can pull as many damn silly faces as you like, as long as you keep your comments within the bounds of accepted taste and normal office decorum.
How quaint you are.
Oh, shut up. Shut up yourself. Yeah.
Oh,
Mr. Wilkie. Mr. Wilkie.
Mr. Wilkie?
Oh, I say.
You suppose it has something to do with this computer business? I mean...
Oh, no, I'm afraid it's the spectacle we've just made of ourselves. I feel very ashamed.
Wilkie!
Sir?
Oh, is there anything the matter, Mr. Wilkie? Anything wrong, my dear fellow?
Wrong? Of course there's something wrong.
Yes, Mr. Wilkie.
There's a great deal that is wrong, a very, very great deal, as anyone with any knowledge in the matter would very soon discover.
Oh, well, perhaps you'll try and tell us just what it is that bothers you so much.
Well, for a start, and just for a start, mind you.
Yes?
I refer you to the Financial Times, 5th of February, page 8. The Times Business News, March the 19th, page 23. The Stock Exchange Gazette,
March... Why did you leave your last position, Mr. Wilkie?
What?
Were you sacked?
Me? No, no, they wouldn't sack a person like me.
Oh?
Good Lord, no. I had far too tight a grip on my particular subjects. Micro and macroeconomics. The application of statistical methods to the analysis and ultimately the solution of business and industrial problems and so on and so on.
Then why did you leave?
I felt that I had no alternative.
Go on.
I had them...
Go on.
I suppose one could call it illness, yes.
Oh?
A small matter, really, a mere trifle.
How do you mean?
The occasional headaches and that. You know the sort of thing, 1 degree under, so to speak.
Headaches,
Headaches?
There was insufficient help, you understand.
There was I, right in the eye of the storm, right slap bang in the middle of our forward planning operations in what was essentially a volatile product. Crisps.
Crisps.
Potato crisps.
Cucumber flavored.
What did you call it? A volatile product?
Oh, exceptionally so. Why do you ask? It's almost a classic case if one is thinking of maintaining optimum yet stable profitability in a wildly fluctuating market. And as I was saying, there was I right at the nerve center.
So you developed headaches. You cracked.
And then there were the lights, you see. I mean the lights in my office. Inadequate. Too dim. Little better than torch bulbs. Bad for the eyes.
Well, we may not have a computer here, but by jinko, we've got some first-class lamps.
No computer?
No!
Right, all right. Keep calm.
Mr. James is embarrassed by your constant reiteration on this point. Surely you can see that.
All right, then. Let me put it this way.
Just tell us about those headaches.
There was once... Now, just wait a minute. Just wait a minute. There was once an animal. An extremely rare animal. That is, I am sorry to say, now extinct.
We shall survive our lack of a computer, sir.
I think we're much more interested in those inconvenient headaches of yours, Mr. Wilkie.
Because of its rareness, even in early days, it was known... I don't know whether you've ever heard the name, gentlemen, as a rarey.
Would you mind telling me what we're supposed to be talking about?
A rarey, of course.
No, headaches.
Most unusual beast. It had the power of speech, you see.
What?
It could talk.
Now, look
this
here.
This power, the power of speech, made it a much sought-after creature. That and its gentleness. Its extreme vulnerability. I don't know whether you're aware, gentlemen, of what happened to the last... recorded, really, the last specimen of all.
Headaches, sir. What about those headaches?
I'm beginning to think...
Yes, Mr. Wilkie?
...that I shall never finish this damned story.
Oh. Oh, I see it's a joke. Yes, it's a joke, of course.
Headaches are no joke.
Joke?
Yes, I'm just the same about jokes, you know. I never know how to finish them. I know lots of opening lines, but I never know the last lines. It's very frustrating.
What do you mean,
yes,
sir?
Now, you take these limericks, for instance. Now, there are scores of opening lines, I know, but I've never heard the last lines. Are they too crude or what? Now, you take, there was a young lady from Bristol.
Bristol? Yes.
There was a young lady from Bristol who cocked her leg over a pistol.
Pistol?
Yeah, cocked her leg over a pistol. You try finishing that. Now, I never can. Never heard the ending yet.
Mr. James, please. We were talking about Mr. Wilkie and his headaches.
What? Headaches.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right, old chap. Yes, twinges in the nut. Yes.
Headaches?
Yes.
You had a breakdown, didn't you? That's why you lost your job. That's why you're trying to get in here. And you're still in the same state, aren't you? Sick. Sick. You're just trying to waste our time.
Now, I say, steady up.
Leave this to me, please.
Sick, I said. Sick.
Cucumber-flavored crisps. Who ever heard of such a thing? Volatile product.
In my considered opinion, your judgments are far too cruel and hasty, as I would have expected.
Oh?
And don't do that.
Do what?
Go, oh, like that, if you wouldn't mind. It's so childish.
And therefore, the most appropriate response to your own inanities.
You're a barbarian, sir.
And you are a soft-scented namby-pamby who is no more fit to fire and hire than this man here is to... Mr. Wilkie.
Oh, I say...
Bristol.
Mr. Wilkie.
There was a young lady from Bristol who cocked her leg over a pistol.
Yes, I like a man with a sense of humor.
You make a sense of humor sound like a physical attribute, Mr. James. Like knock knees, or ingrowing toenails, or warts on the ear. Or carbuncles, or bunions, or hairy noses, or fat backsides, or bony kneecaps, or bony elbows.
Yes, I suppose I do, yes.
Elbow. I said elbow.
Yes, elbow, quite.
Elbow. Elbow is a beautiful word.
Oh, definitely.
Beautiful sound. Glorious shape on the page, too. Elbow. Elbow. Say it over and over. Go on.
Elbow.
Sit down. Now, perhaps you'll listen to me. I'm sorry things should have come to this. Very, very sorry. I had quite other plans for this... this weapon.
Look here, Mr. Wilkie.
Thompson. Call me Thompson. You said he was more highly qualified.
Oh, that was none of my doing, you know. It's just an unfortunate miscalculation. As a matter of fact, I can't think of anyone who's as highly qualified as you are.
He doesn't think so. Oh, no. I talk about the necessity for a centralizing bureau for the collection and collation of all known or predictable market factors. And he... who incidentally looks very Jewish, he talks about my headaches.
He does rather get his priorities mixed up, you know, but I don't think he's Jewish, you know.
No.
Anyway, it was none of my doing, Mr. Wilkie.
Thompson.
Mr. Thompson.
I beg to differ. I said, I beg to differ, sir.
Oh.
I beg to differ. The time has come for action. We've had too many words.
Action?
Action, action, action.
What sort of action?
Decisive action, of course. British industry is riddled with farce and hysteria, most of which is self-induced. Those of us who are really well qualified, who simply want to get on with the job, are hustled and harried at every turn by amateurs, bloody amateurs, and homosexuals in the boardroom. Men who wear wigs. Yes?
I'm only a consultant.
Consultant?
A consultant, a management consultant.
A whore among men. A whore.
Yes, I'm rather inclined to agree with you there.
A harlot in industry.
Oh, please. Please, please, please.
Oh, dear. Dear, dear me. Very undignified.
There's no need for guns, you know. No need at all.
Ah. But what about punishment?
Punishment?
Must be punishment. Must be, must be.
Yes, well, it's been very interesting to talk to you, sir. Very productive.
Yes.
And we'll let you know about the job just as soon as ever we can. I don't think you need have anything to worry about. Certainly not so far as I am concerned.
What's that?
Yes, we have your name and address and your qualifications, your very impressive qualifications, as well as where you went to school. So, well, just as you like. Just as you like. Go or stay.
I wasn't aware that the interview was at an end.
Oh, yes.
Nobody had indicated that to me.
Oh, but I'm perfectly satisfied. There are no more questions so far as I'm concerned, old chap.
No questions.
No questions of any kind? None at all?
No.
But I didn't tell you about the Rary.
Oh.
You were telling me about the young lady from Bristol. Do you remember? Young lady from Bristol.
Mm.
And I was telling you about the tragic end of the last Rary known to man. And he... that thing there on his knees, that consultant, that queer, he started ranting and raving about headaches and breakdowns, and I started getting angrier and angrier and angrier.
The Rary. I was fascinated.
Fascinated? In the Rary? Were you really?
Mm.
Honestly and truly?
Yes. Well, why should I lie? After all, I'm a personnel manager.
What do you already know about the Rary?
Very little, as a matter of fact.
Oh?
Except that it talks.
Precisely. You've put your finger right on it.
Yes, well, of course it talks. I mean, that's always been the case. Everybody knows that.
Mr. Parker doesn't know it. Parker doesn't know it.
Well...
He wouldn't let me finish. He wasn't interested. In fact, he couldn't bloody well, damn well, flaming well care less.
Oh, I wouldn't say that...
The loud-mouthed, jelly-boned, long-haired, obnoxious, interfering creature that he is, he should definitely be punished.
You be careful that thing doesn't go off.
They hunted down the Rary, didn't they? Because it trusted them. Because it was gentle. They showed no mercy, did they? Why should I, then? Why should I?
Leave me alone! Help me! Help me!
Mr. Johnson!
Good heavens. Good gracious me.
Mr. Johnson, is everything all right?
Mad.
Is it the wig, sir?
Wig? What in the name of...
Is there anything I can do, sir?
I have been in business now for nigh on 20 years. 20 reasonably happy and reasonably productive years. But never, I say never, never did I think things would come to this.
It's beyond all reason, all dignity, all normal office decorum. I should never have allowed myself to call in that chap Parker with his mumbo-jumbo. Mr. James is quite right after all, quite right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, no, sir, what the hell do you know about it?
Nothing, I'm sorry, sir.
Then keep quiet. Ask the applicant what school he went to. Well, his father did. That's good enough for me. Find out what school he went to. Never mind funny noses and shrieks and guns.
Guns, Mr. Johnson.
Guns, if you can believe it. Yes, guns. Call my car. I feel quite ill. I've had enough. More than enough. I'm going home. Home, you hear?
Now, sir.
No, yes, no. We don't argue about it. Don't damn well argue about everything.
Sir.
God bless my soul.
But what shall I do?
Oh. Call my car.
But shouldn't we go to see?
Let them get on with it.
But, sir.
No. I wash my hands of the entire affair. Not in 20 years of business. Not in 20 years. Good day to you. Good day. I shall not be in tomorrow.
Oh, but please, sir, Mr. Johnson, sir, there's something going on.
Nothing to do with me. Funny noses. Let's ask a chap what scoop on the top.
Thompson? Oh, isn't it Mr. Wilkie?
Where are you going?
Mr. James.
Leave them in peace.
But the...
Mr. James and Mr. Parker asked me to say that they didn't wish to be disturbed. They do not wish to be disturbed.
Oh.
The interview is over. Done with.
Mr. Wilkie, Thompson, the bangs...
Bangs?
From that office, bangs, sir.
Yes. Bangs. You don't by any chance come from Bristol, do you?
Oh, no, sir, no. Croydon.
Then what do you want to know about bangs? You don't come from Bristol.
Very loud bangs, two very loud bangs.
Oh, it was an exhausting interview, all right. Very thorough. No wonder there were bangs. They left no stone unturned. That chap Parker, well...
With the funny nose.
Funny nose? I don't think his nose was particularly funny. I wouldn't say that as noses go. Of course, noses do vary immensely from face to face, but as noses... Noses. Damned noses. Some people seem to have noses like pickled onions. Some have noses squashed flat from peeping through high windows. There are Roman noses, Jewish noses, Red Indian noses. Yes. And narrow noses, cutting through the air, whiffling through the carbon monoxide. Big noses, little noses, hairy noses, veined noses, gorgonzola noses, beery noses, wet noses, soft noses. Soft, rubbery noses. Soft, so gentle, and soft, rubbery paws. Soft, soft. Poor little Rary. Poor little thing. Poor, poor little Rary. Such a waste. Such an appalling waste. Tiny little skirt. Awful lot of leg. Not really good enough, you know. I think you're very pretty, though. A nice little thing you are. Vulnerable, hmm? And your hand so beautifully soft. Beautifully, beautifully soft. Keep still.
Oh.
Keep still, you silly little thing. I'm trying to help you.
No.
Little Rary. Some air. Some fresh air.
Please. What are you going to do?
Do? I'm so glad I was able to save you. I didn't think there were any more left in the whole wide world.
I was telling you, wasn't I, about what I understood to be the last raree. Not the last, eh? Not the last.
Please, sir.
The hunters had enticed it to go for a walk with them up a winding path leading toward the top of a craggy mountain. And they held its soft, rubbery hands. Do you remember? Do you remember? Of course you do, of course you do. Bound to, bound to. Up and up they went, hunters and rarely together, hand in hand, higher and higher, the path getting rougher, the air getting thinner and colder, pellucidly clear. Little mountain flowers, tiny white blooms shaped like crystals of lacy frost on a window, were specked along the boulders and fragments of splintered rock. Naturally, the rarely wanted to stop and pick a few of those little mountain blooms. And why not? Why not? But no. No, said the hunters in the cunning manner of their kind. No. There are some even prettier, even more lacy shapes sprouting a little further ahead. Okay, said the rarey. Okay, okay. Up and up they went. Higher and higher, the path getting rougher, the air getting thinner and colder and even more pellucid. Pellucid. Elbow. Lovely words. And then they reached the topmost point. All below them, the landscape sprawled as on a finely drawn map. Little flurries of white cloud whisked by below their feet. High, high, so very, very high. That was the moment they'd been waiting for. The hunters exchanged sidelong glances, eyeballs bright and hard as jewels. And even now, teetering on the very brink, even now, the rarey did not sense the danger. And the hunters, hunters, bloody, bloody hunters, management consultants, doctors, doctors, they fidgeted and nudged each other and whispered among themselves. Oh, I've seen it. Don't you worry, I'm not blind. I know what they were whispering about. They were whispering, whispering, and sniggering. Look down, Mary, they sniggered. Look down. And the trusting, gullible little creature shuffled forward to the utmost, ultimate edge. Look down, Mary. Go on, look down. But this time, something too hard and flinty in their voices, something too naked in their faces, headaches, kept on about headaches, made the rarey at last sense that it was in mortal danger. Oh, too late. Too late. Too late. Too late. And the poor, forlorn little creature peeped fearfully over the edge and... I warned them. I told them what would happen. And the poor little creature looked over the 29th floor and looked down and said...
Let me go!
And said... I can't bear it. And said... It's a long way to tip a rarey. Don't you see? Don't you see? The poor little thing looked down... And knowing they were going to push, it said, it's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long, long way to Tipperary.
It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary. To the sweet girl I know. Goodbye.